thinking from Proverbs 3 and trusting in God and His Word. And I've been reflecting just on Proverbs 3, 5 to 7 this week and just how much richness there is within those three verses. But we're going to be turning to other verses as well. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in Proverbs 3, 5. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And for most of the week, I've been thinking about verses 5 and 6. It's the verses that are probably more popular to us, aren't we? You know, we maybe text somebody or write it in a card who's having a hard time. But it struck me that verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes and fear the Lord and shun evil, just kind of hit me in a good way yesterday. Because it seems to me that trusting in God involves three key things. It involves a lot more things, but it involves three key things that I want us to see today. I want to see that it involves living by faith, it involves living by the Spirit, but it also involves living with living by truth. So living by faith, living by the Spirit, living with truth. And so we're to see today that actually truth and wisdom starts with fearing the Lord. Now that seems a very strange thing to say, doesn't it, in the age? Because we can domesticate God, and God can be this kind of furry, cuddly animal that says, well, God is love, which He is, and God cares for us, which He does. But God is also to be feared. Now that is not a very comfortable thing for us in the age that we live in. Not comfortable for me. But the reason that God should be feared is because we fear other things. So you fear losing your job. You fear those problems in your relationship. You fear those issues at school, or you fear other people. And so as humans, we give time and meditation to things, but we don't necessarily call it fear. But what the Bible is talking about in terms of fear is that we give worship to, that we revere, that we see as awe and majesty. And so we know what it is to worship because we wake up in the morning worrying about things. And if you don't worry here, come and tell me what your secret is. Because we all wake up worrying about all kinds of things. We give fear and meditation two things. But what God wants us to do is to see that true wisdom and true understanding and true trust begins in fearing God. Now I'm going to say some things now that are going to feel a little bit uncomfortable, but they're true. God, who created the world and the universe, who created us, and as we sinned against Him, sees that there's rebellion in our hearts, that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And we kid ourselves thinking, well, you know, I'm not doing too bad. I read my Bible now again, I pray a bit. But God is to be feared in the sense that He, through Christ, is worthy of our praises we've been hearing about, is majestic, but guess what? He is also a God of wrath. A God who will judge the living and the dead. That is uncomfortable, isn't it? Because it isn't just a case of, do I follow Jesus? Do I take that step to follow Jesus for the first time? Or do I continue to follow Jesus? It's actually a matter of life and death and a matter of eternal life and death. So that God, in His mercy, sent Jesus knowing that we would face the wrath of God and that we would be in fear of God in the sense that rightfully we are not God. He is holy, but He is just. And that we ourselves would become smaller and say, oh my goodness, He is rightfully to be feared because there's nothing that I can do about eternity. There's nothing that I can do except look to God and see that he has sent Jesus, and Jesus to die on the cross, that the wrath that I was due is actually going to be appeased by Jesus. That's why he came and he died on the cross. Not just to kind of go, well, I've come as a good example. I'm a nice guy. I love people. You should love people. Hey, I'm kind of a bit of a, you know, into this kind of hippie commune thing. Are you? Yeah, just hang out, love people. Yeah, it doesn't really matter what we do, what we say. But can't we see the gravity? And it gripped me as I was thinking about this all week. And this last bit, I suddenly thought that real trust in God, that real truth is seeing God for who he is in his entirety. And it is not a juxtaposition that God is both a God of love and wrath. It's because he's a holy God that he sent Jesus to show us how much he loves us. And so therefore, we should fear him. Not just turn up on a Sunday, not just rock up out of bed and say, well, maybe I'll give time to Jesus or not. It's like, I am just so in awe and rightfully in fear of you. So do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. Fear the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And that totally struck me this week. Because what is our world about? It's about big up in yourself. It's about being wise. Check out my degrees, my master's, my PhD. Check out how much of an influencer I am. I mean, I only learned that a few months ago. If you're down with the kids, you'll know what that means. But people actually get paid for being an influencer on Instagram and loads of money. So I'm an influencer. So I just need to influence you. I need to show you how much influence I've got. And I need to keep my name up there, my name up in lights, you see, because the thing is, sinfully, we want to be wise in our own eyes. And that rhymes. We want to be wise in our own eyes. But that's the center of what it is to be sinful. When we look to be wise in our own eyes, it's just saying, well, I know more than God. I'll get by. I'll get through life. I'll go left, I'll go right, I'll go back, I'll go forward. I'll get fitter. I'll get quicker. I'll avoid cancer. I'll avoid this, I'll do that. I'll make it through. It's going to be tough, but I'll make it through. But here's the big news story. You might make it through, but when you get to the end, there's eternity. And that is the sobering thought for me and you, that we cannot ignore the holiness of God because we will be accountable to him for eternity. And we will either be with him forever in glory, worshiping him in awe and wonder, or we will face the consequences of this in a place that the Bible calls hell. That is not a very popular message in the age that we live in. But it's never been a popular message because it rightfully points us into the position that we really should be in, and that is that we should be in awe and in fear of God and not be wise in our own eyes. And I wonder that in the 1950s and 60s, where preaching was hail, fire, and brimstone, and there wasn't much talk of the grace of God and the love of God, whether I've lost some of that, we've lost some of that, we've lost some of the majesty and the awe and the wonder of this holy God who we should be in fear of and saying, I'm not going to live the way I'm living. I'm not going to waste my life here because actually I'm accountable to this holy God. And I don't want to see other people going down that road of destruction. So I'm going to be unashamed of the gospel. And I'm going to tell people at my work, I'm going to tell my neighbors that Jesus came and died in order that we would not face the consequences of God's wrath, that we would be forgiven. And we would be motivated to do that by this good news because it wells up inside of us. But I wonder how much of my life and our life is just, well, you know, Christianity is a bit of a lifestyle, isn't it? Just kind of go shopping, go to church, go to home group, or don't go, or do go. But it's this radical change that we have in our lives because of the big picture perspective of who God is. And so living by faith starts with trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. but it's the perspective of not being wise in our own eyes, but fearing the Lord. If our hearts are rooted in things other than God, we will love these things more than him. Please hear that in love, and I preach it to myself. This is essential for spiritual growth for you and for me. If our hearts are rooted in things other than God, we will love these things more than him. And you know what the result will be? Our hearts will be divided. We will not trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. That is why in Proverbs it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do you see that? Don't trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart. And so we mustn't have an undivided heart. These things, we are to trust God with all of our hearts, not a divided heart. Living by faith starts with not leaning on our own understanding. It's trusting by faith in Jesus as revealed in his word. And that is why the Bible, the word, is so important. To live by faith, we need to trust in Jesus. It sounds simple, but it's profound. To live by faith, we need to trust, to lean upon Jesus. So if on one of these seats near Marshall, maybe Marshall, you could bring that chair out. Maybe we've seen this illustration before, but it's good to remind ourselves is that I can believe that this chair will hold me, and if I sit on it, it will stand up. But there's still an act of faith that when I sit on it, that it actually will hold me up. We were visiting some friends in a restaurant in St. Andrews last Saturday, and this guy next to us sat on a chair, and it actually went. The thing went, and it crashed into me. And I thought, well, actually, that is interesting. Every time we sit on a chair, we're not thinking, hold on a minute, I've got to weigh this one up. Is the legs going to hold on this or not? We just do it, don't we? We just sit on the chair. But actually, every time we do it, there's a small act of faith there, but it's a learned act of faith. And the challenge of just leaning on our own understanding, if we lean on our own understanding, if we lean on our own wisdom, is that we will not succeed. We will not go forward and be fruitful. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. And so our own understanding is flawed. No matter how intellectual you think you are, no matter what you've achieved in life, no matter what I've done or you've done, our understanding is flawed through sin. And that should be sobering for those of us who like to pursue more academic pursuits, that we're all sinners saved by grace, that our understanding, no matter how wise we are, is that we're flawed by sin. And it's somewhat easier to just go with the flow, do what everyone else is doing. And we live in that media-saturated age where the FOMO, the fear of missing out, is prevalent. And that's why we need Jesus, to live by faith and trust in his truth. In Galatians 2:20, a verse that I've been thinking a lot about again over the past few months, says that I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live in the body, and I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So there's a couple of things when it comes to trust and understanding what it is to live by faith. Now, many of us in this room would have been brought up in church, heard about faith, know about faith, but some of the times that is part of the problem. We went to an SU camp, we gave our life to Christ, we went to Sunday school, we got involved in the holiday clubs and what have you, but we need to be thinking about what the word actually says continually and growing in that regarding who we are in Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live. If your life is built on being an influencer and it's all about you, the gospel is radical surgery. The Christian should say, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I think it took me about 10 years of being a Christian to actually even get a slight understanding of this. And I wonder whether you understand this or are understanding this. The Christian has been crucified with Christ and no longer lives. So the Christian, in coming to faith in Christ, dies. And you don't live anymore. So stop trying to update your life like some kind of Apple Mac software. That if I just add that 0.3 version on, I'm going to be a bit better. I'm going to feel a bit better. I'm going to be morally better. The position that we need to start in is, I am dead. Sorry to kill your ego, but if you are in Christ, you are dead. And you no longer live. You take that step of faith and you no longer live, but Christ, this is the good news, Christ lives in me. And so the life I now live in the body, I live by faith. So how do we operate if we're dead and then we come alive? How do we operate? Well, hello, this is where faith comes in. It's not like, well, I'm living my life and I gave my life to Jesus and I became a Christian and I know where I'm going to go for eternity. No, you die, you come alive, and the reason that you can live is by faith. But by faith in faith? No, by faith in Christ. The life I live in the body. See it in Galatians 2:20. It's rich. The life I live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Christ comes down, dies, takes our wrath upon himself so that we can live by faith. And the way that we live, the way that we're more fully human is we now live by faith. Not just as an added extra. Can't we see how revolutionary that is? So you're like, well, what am I doing? Where am I going? How am I going? How's this happening? What about my job? What about? No, you're dead. But you're alive in Christ. And you will become more and more alive as you put your faith and trust in him, as I do that. Because, how do we know that? Because he gave his life for us. He died on the cross because he shows us how much he loves us. So knowing and trusting Jesus is not just an add-on piece of software. It is a complete transformation. And if our hearts are rooted in other things, we will love these things more. But they will not satisfy us. They will not save us. But I recognize that living by faith is a process. We don't just wake up in the morning, and we don't just say to somebody who's not a Christian, wake up and give your life to Jesus. Okay, yep, sounds a good idea. Have you noticed how that doesn't happen? Because faith and trust in Christ is a process of learning what it is to die to self as we put our faith and trust in Jesus. And as we do that, he begins by his Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to open our ears, and he begins to show us what it is to truly be alive. And that's a process. It's an ongoing process of coming alive in Christ. So that's the good news. As we thought about the big picture, the big picture is he's making all things new. The work of the Spirit is to sanctify us, to make us more like Jesus. So it wasn't, well, 15 years ago I gave my life to Jesus. It's like, what is he doing now? How is he refreshing and renewing and restoring us now? How is he making all things new in us now by Christ? When I came to faith after going on a free church camp up in the Highlands and living in the Highlands, at 18, I wrestled for 6 months of reading the Gospels. And I was praying, God, I don't just want to know this. I actually want to know it here, and I want to know it here. And it took me 6 months of reading the Gospels and praying, God, if you're there, God, if you're real, if you've come in Christ and you've done what you have done, I want to know it. I don't just want to know about it, I want to know it. And there came a point in my life when I confessed that to my parents that just the sense of sin and the weight of sin lifted off me. But it was a process. And it's been an ongoing process where I just need to keep putting my faith and trust in Jesus. as I face trials, as I face temptations, as I face difficulties week in, week out, day by day, that I keep needing to trust and put my faith in Jesus. But secondly, and time flies when you're having fun, is living by the Spirit is that in Proverbs 6 we see, in all your ways submit to him. In all of your ways submit to him. Can't we see again? It's not a partial faith. It's we are all in here, folks. Faith is leaning and trusting, not being wise in our own eyes, but we are all in here, that we are submitting to him. In all your ways, submit to him. How do you find that? How do you find submission? Are you good at submitting to God and to others? Or are you trying to be wise and self-sufficient in your own eyes? Francis Schaeffer once said that we need to do God's work in God's way for God's glory. And that's been revolutionary for me over the past few months as I've been reading quite a bit of Francis Schaeffer, that we can so easily think it's about my work. You can think about ministry as being the stuff that I do for Jesus. But it's God's work, and that's freeing. And when you go to the office, it's God's work. When you go to the hospital, it's God's work. God's work in God's way for his glory will bring fruit. But when we do things in our own strength, we'll struggle, we'll get burnt out, we won't have joy. And this involves prayer and dependence on him. This is why we have been so desperately preaching and urging us all to be praying people, because we need to be praying and depending on the Spirit and not the flesh. And a sign that we're spiritually healthy as individuals is that we pray. A sign that we're spiritually healthy as a church is that we will gather to pray, that we will continue to pray. And in order to trust God and live in God's word, there needs to be a change in us by the Spirit, where we become more dependent on him. In Galatians 5:16, as was read earlier on, it says, I walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Can you see that? We see it in the Proverbs. You think you're wise in your own eyes? You think you can just do your own thing? Galatians 5, don't just do whatever you want. My goodness, we live in an age that is... marketing is built on just do whatever you want. You know, drink a Coke, feel happiness. Feel it, do it, whatever. It's just based on do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So we need to try and see our lives in a way that they're not our own. And we're not possessive of things. So it's not my car, it's God's car. It's not my house, it's God's house. It's not my work, it's God's work. See how freeing that is. We hold tightly to things. It's this, I've got to do this, I've got to have this. But then you go, actually, it's God's. I'm going to let go of this. He's the one who brings true life. When I live by the Spirit, it's doing God's work in God's way, for his glory. But we need to live by faith in Jesus, and we need to actively seek the help of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And living by the Spirit, when you read down in Galatians 5, leads to fruitfulness. It leads to a change in the individual's life, and it leads to a change in the community of God, our church. And we should be looking for fruitfulness, not successfulness. And lastly, living by truth in Proverbs 3:6-7, and he will make your path straight. When we do this, when we look to him, he'll lead us, he'll guide us, because he's leading us to redemption. He's leading us to full redemption, where he'll make all things new. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. In John 8:31, he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So do we hold to his teaching? Do we read the word? Do we meditate on the word? Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's the truth that will set you free. And there's so much spin within our society. There's so much pressure upon people to give an image that they are doing well and they are doing fine and that I'm presenting what is true. How tragically sad yesterday the news of that young woman who took her own life, Caroline Fleck, 40 years old, just indicative of an age where we've got to keep up appearances, indicative of an age where we need to look like we're wise in our own eyes, where we need to look like we've got it together, where we need to present that we're an influencer. But the reality is that we will not be free unless we know the truth that's found in Jesus. We can be tempted to think that we need to be wise in our own eyes. Better yourself, show how worthy you are, be more productive, be on social media, be the popular one at school or in the workplace. But wisdom and truth begins with fearing the Lord, and we're to revere him. And Jesus embodies the truth and taught truth. So he spoke truth to the religious leaders and the poor. He speaks to us today, and that's why we should read the Bible and investigate it. We see that Christ is calling to us from the pages of Scripture, not just in the Gospels, but through the whole canon of Scripture. We see Jesus in the whole of Scripture, calling to us, pointing us to a holy God where redemption is found in him. We see him saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life. We see him dying on the cross. We see him rising from the cross to defeat evil and sin. We see him going up to heaven, and we see him will one day return and will be judge of the living and the dead. And he wants us to look to him and to his word, not in some kind of ritualistic way where we just say, well, I better read the Bible because, you know, that makes me look better and that makes me look good. But that we turn to him and see that he is the one who gives us forgiveness, that he is the one in whom we can trust. And that is a very important word, isn't it, for us today? There's a lot of mistrust. But he is the one to whom we can trust because he is true. And when we know the truth, we will be set free. Let me just finish by asking three quick questions and then we're finished. Do you know what it is today to live by faith? Or are you trusting in yourself? Do you know what it is to live by faith in Christ? You can know that today. We can put our faith and trust in Jesus. He came to die on the cross, rising again, so that we can be forgiven and live by faith. It's a work of him. But secondly, do you know what it is to live by the Spirit today? Are you submitting your ways to him? Are you doing God's work in God's way for his glory, or are you living in your own steam? And lastly, do you know what it is to live by truth today? Do you see that the word brings freedom and life as we meditate on Jesus who sets us free? May we turn to God and his word today and see how Jesus makes this possible for us. I'm just going to ask Need to come up and play and the band will come after him. But let me just pray for us as we reflect on this, as Need begins to play and the band come up. Let's just be still for a moment or so. I know our time is gone, but let's just be still and ask the Holy Spirit, what is he saying to me? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? So Father, here we are, and it's another Sunday. But it doesn't just have to be another Sunday. It can be a Sunday where you awaken us to the truth of your word and who you are. And maybe for a first time, we take that step of faith to you and you meet us and you greet us. Maybe it is that we've known this for years, but if we're honest, we've grown a bit stale and we've forgotten just how we are to fear you and revere you, how holy a God you are. And help us to not waste our lives trying to live in our own steam. Help us to trust you by your Spirit. Help us to live in step with the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Help us to trust you that you set us free, by your truth of Christ. You set us free today. Come, we pray, Holy Spirit. May this be so. In Jesus' name.